Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Patent, the inaugural episode of Pensacola Business Radio, and I'm pretty excited about it. How's it feel being back in your hometown?
Hey, Stone? Man, you really can go home again. I had fresh mullet last night. I am so excited to be here. And this is going to be a fun segment right out of the box. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Robert Carroll. He's the president and content creator for RKC Productions. And we're also going to get a chance to talk with Sean O'Brien. With Sean O'Brien Consulting. But first up on Pensacola Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Grand Poobah, the CEO, the big boss of Clearstream. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Michael Lepine. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Clearstream, can you share a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Yeah, we started Clearstream. I'm a co-founder in Clearstream. We started in 2009. And we've built basically a web-based mobile platform or web-based platform and iPhone app that enables businesses and organizations to communicate with their customers, their members, employees via text message.
Mm-hmm.
So web-based text message marketing and communication.
So now what was the impetus to start it?
That's kind of a twofold answer. Really the first was, Even before me and my co-founder knew really what we wanted to do, we just knew we wanted to work together.
So you found a co-founder first, and the business came second.
And what's funny is throughout all of the past 6 years, he ended up becoming my brother-in-law. So we're kind of
now you can't get rid of him even if you want to.
Yeah, we're kind of stuck. But I had founded a business before on my own, and with the co-founder. To me, I would probably never want to start another company without a co-founder.
Really?
And it's probably, one of the most important things as far as finding somebody you can, trust with your life.
Because it's kind of like a marriage, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Do you have different skills? Like, what is your...
Yeah, my background is business management. His is computer engineering. So I really handle the business side or most of the business development side. And he handles or is head of the development side. And so the other answer to that question of why we started Clearstream is, beginning of 2009, we were looking at this industry, been really interested in it. And we were looking at all the players, big companies, companies that had already been bought out by public companies, and really nobody was doing anything interesting in this industry. All the software products that businesses were using, to communicate with their customers via text message, it was just antiquated, outdated, software's just bloated. And so we saw that, hey, we could come in here and build something that, that's fresh, that's very easy to use. And it's taken a long time, but it's paying off. I mean, we're stealing a lot of customers from the big guys. So.
And then what type of companies are attracted to your product?
Actually, it kind of spans across the board. Primarily companies that are small businesses that are, looking to use texting as a means of communicating with your customers.
To remind me of an appointment, or is it a means to...
Appointment reminders or, deals of the day, things like that. But we also have a lot of medium to large size companies that use us for more internal communication.
Mm-hmm. What's an example of that? How do they use it that way?
One I can think of off the top of my head. They have a, sales agents, hundreds of sales agents
all
around
the country,
and they use Clearstream software to immediately communicate with them any kind of changes that need to be made on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
We have customers that are using us like that, so there's just different applications for our software. So that's been kind of cool to see over the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Whereas they might have used email before, and then texting is more.
I don't think texting is really a direct replacement to email. Email really does have value. I mean, we use email for our own company. But it really does, I kind of see it as a sister product. Mm-hmm. They really do complement each other. So
I want to hear how the thing got sold. You talked about stealing accounts. I mean, is the phone ringing? Are you out there knocking down doors? Do you have some sort of unique marketing strategy, secret sauce that you might not be allowed to share all the stuff?
Really, really what helped us, we both just you know, kind of previous background, we had both had some pretty extensive experience in SEO. And so really, it's kind of a lame answer to your question, but really we just killed a lot of the bigger guys in terms of national SEO. So that really helped us in the first few years, and it still does. I mean,
so they're finding you. Yeah. They're searching for.
So what?
Yeah, they're searching for enterprise tech solutions, and we're one of the top companies that come up. So
wow.
So that's been a huge help for us.
So now, what's next for you guys? How do you plan on expanding?
Right now, I'll kind of keep it short. Right now, we're in the middle of launching our API. So all that means is that big companies that are wanting to find or use a third-party software but integrate it within their own existing softwares, they're going to be able to do that with us. And then kind of on a bigger picture, we're looking to expand into a couple other countries. Right now, we're only in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
We only have connectivity with carriers in the U.S. So hopefully at the end of the year, we'll be going into Canada, U.K., and a couple countries in South America. So that's kind of like the big picture thing, I guess, for the next year. So,
now, does that require you to change anything dramatically in order to accommodate the different countries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some, I won't bore you with all the technical stuff, but there's some substantial hurdles that we're, you know, working through to get connectivity into those countries. So
what's your favorite part? What have you enjoyed the most, and what have you found that you would just as soon not want to do that part again if you could hire someone to do it or avoid doing it?
I guess my probably the answer would be the same to that. The hardest part, but yet my most favorite part is the fact that we decided early on that we wanted to bootstrap ClearStream. We had opportunities, you know, for funding.
Mm-hmm.
And either, you know,
and it's very seductive, right? You get people that are,
it is.
You know, asking, you know, how would you want to structure something? Would you want to take on some money? It can be very seductive.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it makes sense for a lot of companies, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. But for us, we knew that we just wanted to take a different road. And, you know, one of the consequences of taking that road is it's often a slower road. Mm. You know, you can't just, you know, pull money from the bank. You got to go out and make money.
You're customer funded.
Yeah. Yeah. We're 100% customer funded.
That's what we call it.
Yeah. And so that's a long, hard road. And it takes a lot of patience and perseverance, just not quitting. But, you know, looking back kind of, you know, we're a little over five and a half years into the business. So far, we're really glad. You know, we might take funding down the road, but we don't have any plans to right now. And we're really, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword, I guess. So
now we're broadcasting live from the Gulf Coast Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. They've been kind enough to let us broadcast from here.
Yeah.
You're also here. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with them?
Yeah. So we kind of moved into the CIE last year, and you know they offer a lot of help for startups. I think we're a little bit past the initial startup stage, but regardless, for any kind of small tech company, really the biggest benefit is being around other tech companies
where there's collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the first few years, we just felt, honestly, we felt kind of like our own little island in Pensacola. You know, like who else is doing any cool tech innovation? Which really there are companies, but it's kind of hard to come across them. And so being, you know, in one space, in one building where other companies, other people are building, you know, awesome, really cool stuff, that's really encouraging for us.
Right. It's kind of inspirational and kind of gets fire under you, right? Like, oh, wow, they got that big client. Let's kind of get our own big client.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is there ever an opportunity to collaborate? Do you go, hey, you know, that I need somebody that can do that skill, and maybe they help you out, and you help them with some SEO or something?
We're not so much trading services, but as far as collaborating, in terms of, you know, looking for, you know, for quality help or employees or interns, that kind of stuff. We've been talking to another company here that's really been a tremendous help. So they're a little bit further ahead than we are, and they're a great help. So we love talking to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So before we wrap your segment, as a seasoned, mature executive,
right?
What advice, if any, what counsel would you offer someone, you know, entertaining the idea of either not pursuing a traditional career or mm-hmm. maybe leaving what began as a traditional career and becoming an entrepreneur? Would that maybe okay. you could save them a few heartaches?
Yeah. So two answers to that. The first is you need to be able to objectively look into what you're doing. You know, if you're wanting to try to, you know, disrupt in some way an industry or a small niche, you need to be able to objectively say, we can do this because we have this experience, or, you know, you can't just kind of pipe dream and want to get into an industry and hope to do something. We really did, you know, we were objectively able to look at this industry and see that this is an antiquated old industry that's not moving. We can really do something here. So that has to be answered. And then once you can answer that, hopefully with, you know, a co-founder or two, I think the biggest lesson that I've learned over the past 6 years, and, you know, Trevor Gaiman, our other co-founder, would say the same thing, is just not quitting. I think that's the hardest thing in business.
Keep
just grinding
showing up,
it out every day, especially if you've bootstrapped the company. That is the hardest thing. It's just simply not to quit. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you find that, man, you've won, you know, a lot of small victories on the way just because I decided to show up and not quit. So,
well, I can't think of a better way to kick off our presence here in Pensacola. We got to have you back. I think there's a lot more to talk about. I'd love to visit with your partner, but I think it would be fun if you're up for this, Lee, when we come back through town or as we get our permanent studio established here in the Pensacola market, to maybe have you come back with a delighted client or a market
cool.
partner.
Yeah.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah.
And kind of and examine things from their perspective?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, and get the truth about all it. No, I'm
absolutely.
Kidding. All right. Well, but before we wrap, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you if they'd like to have a conversation with you or your partner or whomever's okay. appropriate on your team, phone number, website, whatever's appropriate.
Yeah. Just go to our website. Our website is clearstream.com. That simple.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for joining
Thank
us. You going to hang out with us while we visit with our other
Absolutely.
Guests?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up on Pensacola Business Radio, we have with us the president and content creator with RKC Productions, Mr. Robert Carroll. Welcome to the show, sir. Did you learn anything in that first segment?
Oh, I sure did.
I saw you nodding your head quite a bit. I don't know if you're just being polite or if you were really, you were agreeing with this guy.
No,
right?
I like to be a sponge. I like to soak up everything I can.
So can you share a little bit about RKC Productions?
Okay, well, RKC Productions is a startup that I started in February. I had been in the media production business in 1990 through 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And then I closed my doors and went back to the corporate world for a while.
You got a real job.
Cut the rent
yeah.
back up, right?
I got the health insurance. Again, yes.
right.
And then I, it's always been my dream to go back into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a storyteller and I love what I do. And in February, I took my money from the retirement and invested it in some more gear and got state of the art and started marketing in early April, and I've been marketing ever since, trying to get clients and get things moving.
Now, who's a typical client for you?
I usually target corporate. I'm looking to do like sales promo videos for the internet, mm-hmm. Real estate, developers. I've worked with industrial clients doing sales promos for them, and you named it. I've shot 30-second commercials and done documentaries. So.
And he brought in his GoPro, or that's probably not a GoPro sitting over there.
No.
It's like this Star Trek worthy video camera. We have to post a picture of it on the.
I don't think you can fit it on your head. But no. Maybe your shoulder, but not your head.
That's the 4K JVC that just came out. 2 or 4 weeks ago.
Wow, so it's brand new.
It's brand new. I was probably one of the first people in the United States to get it.
Oh, wow.
So now, for your customers, how do you, it's a pretty competitive industry. How do you what's your secret sauce for them?
Selling myself.
It's the ability to tell
yeah.
stories?
Yeah, it's your work. It's what mm-hmm. you have to fall back on. like when I started up, and the first thing I did was build my internet site, which I also do.
I know a guy who can help you with SEO.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do need help in that area. I'm telling you, that's one area I'm struggling with right now. Google and I are pals.
So now, when you're working with customers, do you have a story that from your past that you can share that maybe illustrates what makes you so special?
Oh, you know,
something
well,
you're proud of?
I can do everything from shoot data to write the music score.
Any work you've done that you're most proud of?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've done some really nice pieces, and I've won some awards. But the video film I'm most proud of is I just produced last year a 8-minute short film, and it's a comedy spoof of me competing in a guitar competition against professionals. And I haven't distributed it yet, but my wife actually went in and handheld shot it with a high 8 camera.
Wow.
And the footage was good. You know, and I said, this is good enough, I can work with it. You know, so I put it into Final Cut Pro and wrote a script up for it for the intro. And you know, that piece is going to be real nice when I finish it. I will be putting it into short film competitions.
So now, what part do you enjoy the most? Is it the shooting? Is it the kind of storyboarding it out or editing?
You know what? I like shooting a lot, and I like editing a lot. And I like doing graphics. I cut my teeth on Photoshop in 91, 92. So I've been doing graphics for quite a while. I did, obviously, my business card.
How do you keep up, though? Because, I mean, I'm in awe of this camera. You know, because we just have the microphones. We sit down. We have a conversation. How do you keep up? Because the technology must change so fast. Just because you know how to use a video camera last year, you may not know how to use one.
Well,
is it, right?
I'll tell you what. Shooting is shooting.
So there are some fundamental disciplines.
Yeah, there's very fundamental disciplines in lighting and shooting, and you know, you just don't pick up a camera, turn it on, and start shooting. You know, it's like when I was adjusting my camera here, you know, it takes 5 minutes or so to get in there and change the iris and you know, set the white balance.
That's
and,
what I was thinking. And, yeah, you know, gotta be careful with that
iris. You can't just
Well, no, I was thinking too, at least in our experience in radio, it's fairly easy for folks to get kind of comfortable. The microphones sort of melt away pretty quickly and they're talking about their work. But I would think you'd have to be really good with people to get them comfortable with, you know, boom, you know, lights, camera, action. Not everybody can just snap too, right?
No, it takes a lot of experience.
So you have
there.
To be like a therapist, you know, and a coach.
Yeah, kind of coaching them along.
Right.
You know, relax. You know, we just shot a video for the Santa Rosa County Chamber of Commerce in, I think it was April, just when we were getting our gear in. And, you know, we went around and did interviews with people during the conference and stuff. And it was an aspect that nobody really thought of, you know, that I just brought out of the hat. And inserted it, and we produced a 7-minute video for them about their business conference.
Well, that's another thing that I'd like to explore briefly, if we could. Let's say that somehow, some way, with your talent and my luck, I've got 2, 3, 5, 7 minutes of really good video. I don't even probably know, and I imagine a lot of folks don't really know what all they can and should do with it. Can you speak to how to leverage the content once you've created it?
Well,
particularly businesses.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're in digital medium now. Hardly any production companies use tape anymore. It's very rare. The camera over there shoots on an SD card that's this big, and it runs like at 50 megabytes a second.
So what do I do with it? I've got this great stuff. I you know, out of an hour and a half, you know, I said something really smart there for a minute. What do I do with it to help me promote my business and grow radio station or whatever I'm
Well, you think of a script first, and you write what you want to promote, and you get your thoughts organized on how that footage is going to fit with your script and whether you have all the content or not. And usually we cut the audio tracks first. So I'd say you were working for me doing the voiceover on a video. I'd bring you in, have you do the voiceover. I'd cut the video to time it with your voiceover and then come
you
back.
You mean video
in
of then, something else? Like I'm talking about something else and you're is that, and then you match that up?
Yeah, and you match it up. You
so know, that's one way to kind of ease into that discomfort I was talking about a moment
right,
ago.
Right. The whole thing behind the storytelling aspect of it is you got to have a writer. You got to have a person who can visualize the concept and see the finished product before you get there. And that's where I come in.
Now, is it a challenge with today's world that, you know, everybody's phone's a video camera and they think they can do it themselves?
Well, I'll give you a reply that I gave to a person who asked a question on LinkedIn a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. It was a marketing person. Usually these are the people who will ask this type of question is, what's the best software I can edit video with? Mm-hmm. And they have no experience at all. And my first line of my rebuttal to him was that if you want a professional video, hire a professional. Mm-hmm. You know, because it takes years. The software companies would like to make you think that you can
that
throw together.
Anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it. Yeah, right. here, buy my $500 piece of software, mm-hmm. and you can be an Academy Award winning right. editor next week. And it's not like that at all. So I use, when I'm editing a video, I'll use up to four or five different programs. There's no one turnkey program I can tell you to buy to be a professional editor.
Sure. So now, is there any advice you would give somebody who's in the market for doing this? Like, how do you tell if you're talking to somebody that really knows what they're doing, or if it's somebody that just is kind of winging it?
I would ask them about their experience. Mm-hmm. What have they done? I shot my first aerial video in 92 out of a crop duster over a grapefruit field. You know,
that sounds fun.
So, you know, I mean, you know, a person that's got experience like that or has used camera cranes and directed, right. actually directed and delivered finished products, you know, that's where you want to go. You,
right.
you want to get the pro that really
been
knows
there,
how
done to, that. That's not learning on your dime.
You know, the pace of the video, the pace of the editing, all that stuff is key to keep a person's interest. You're trying to keep a person's interest. Usually the span of that is 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you've got 7 minutes of creating some action, interest, and activity and telling a story to grab people
right.
and sell them something. So, and that's a lot of what I do. I'd like to get more, though, into doing public documentaries mm-hmm. and doing more meaningful projects
right.
down the road for myself. I have a blog right now that I produce. I produce it out of my house. I have a blog studio, a three-camera studio, plus a big iMac. Set up state-of-the-art
for editing.
Yeah, I mean, because 4K video, you can't just take a regular computer and edit it.
A monster computer
it is a monster.
All right, and where can our listeners go to learn more?
rkcproductions.com.
fantastic.
And the blog
is rcguitarcamp.com.
Guitar okay. Camp,
or you all can right. get it on RKC Productions, but it's switching to RC Guitar Camp.
So that's a whole nother story. We got to have you come in here and talk about it.
All right, next time.
Yep. I got three blogs in the works right now. So.
All right, so that'll be a fun story. We got to come back and hear about Guitar Camp. Hey, stay with us. We're going to visit with one more guest, all right?
Sure will.
All right.
All
Lee,
right.
You ready for the headliner?
That's it.
This guy's very patient. He's been nodding his head, taking notes. But this is going to be a lot of fun. This gentleman is with Sean O'Brien Consulting, LLC, and remarkably, the man's name is Sean O'Brien. Please welcome him to the show. Hey, man, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, Sean, can you share a little bit about what kind of consulting work you guys are up to?
Yeah, so we do in the information technology market space. We do business integration, technology integration into the business. We'll come in and we'll help an organization, especially an organization who's bringing in new technologies or new approaches to technology. We take a look at the organization and their business processes and help them optimize the return on that effort.
So is it that they've maybe purchased an Oracle system and you're helping them integrate that, or are they switching, or how does that work?
Yeah, so if it's an Oracle system or if it's their the big area as of late is cybersecurity, emphasis on cybersecurity.
Sure.
So different methods and approaches to security. But what they find is in that area, and this is just a for instance, is that they go out and they buy new firewalls, new intrusion detection systems, new activity monitoring systems, and they attach them to their network.
So they just bolt it on to
and they
and they're like, hey, it's not working right.
6 months later, they're going, hey, this isn't working. Well, when you look at that,
and those things aren't cheap.
No, they're not, and you pay a lot for the service and the upkeep of those. And so what we understand is that an approach to cybersecurity is you have to kind of bake that into the organization's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to look at the organization, and in order to take full advantage of the capabilities that they invested in, they may have to reorganize. They may have to change their business processes in order to incorporate that. So it becomes part of the day-to-day activity as opposed to the afterthought at the end of the day.
Right.
And
maybe that memo of telling everybody not to use password as their password.
Right. Well, and it's more than that, right? You know, so how do you, trust but verify, right? You know, so you got to think about stuff like that. So, and I help organizations go through that transition.
And you want them before they bought it. That's better for you, right?
That would be optimal for them as well, but the fact that they go and buy these things without thinking about that also
that's good
keeps
job
my
security
phone ringing,
for you.
Right? So.
All right, so I grew up here, so that's part of my excuse, and I absolutely love this area, and it's one of the reasons that I'm coming back and establishing a permanent presence for Business Radio X with Pensacola Business Radio. But I got to ask, for the business you're in, why Pensacola? Why not San Francisco, New York, Chicago?
Well, you know, that's a long... somewhat of a long story, but I could tell it real quick. I didn't start out in this business. I started out as joined the Navy in 1990 and came down here to flight school and learned how to fly. So for 23 years, I was an attack aviator. And but along the way, the Navy recognizes that I can't fly 24 hours a day, so they give us other jobs to do. and so through those 23 years, I was able to... I got involved with IT when it was,
before it was cool.
Yeah, before anybody even knew what it was.
Right.
It was one of those things where I was the junior officer in the squadron or in the air wing, and orders came down from above, set up a network. So the commander looks around and goes, "You're the new guy,
Sean.
Figure
this out. So, how hard could it be?"
And so the blessing or the curse was that I said okay, and I put my head down and figured it out and got it set up, and it ran. So all of a sudden, hey, here's the IT.
He's our guy.
So I jokingly said. Back then I got the IT stink on me and I can't get it off because
it was a good thing though.
Yeah,
that's a nice stink to have on you.
So yeah, the next place I go, hey, we heard you did a great job. We got to do the same thing. Can you do it? And mm-hmm. next thing, I was kind of typecast then throughout. But, so along the way, I had done, I guess, a good enough job where the Navy, felt that a little more investment in me was good. They sent me to get a master's degree in information systems and operations.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Nicely played.
Yes. And as a follow-on toward that, I went to work for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs as his director of information operations and computer network attack and defense for all of DOD. So I got I jumped in head first into that world.
That must have been intimidating.
It was.
That path seemed pretty rapid, at least the way you described it. I don't know.
Right.
The time
again,
frame
I'm
of
a,
that.
I'm flying airplanes, having a great time, right. And all of a sudden now I'm got an office in the Pentagon, and I'm going to the White House and the State Department. And,
so was that kind of a mixed blessing that you didn't get to fly because?
Yeah, so that was I was at the Pentagon for 2 years, and that was the first, my first time in 17 years of the Navy where I wasn't flying every day. And it was such an exciting and new area within DOD.
And the level of responsibility, that's crazy.
Yeah, there were often times I sat there and thought, really? And Lieutenant Commander at the time.
A couple years ago, I was just, had a manual
out. Am I really
the
best they have to throw at this problem? And, well, apparently, we achieved some success there and got selected for some couple command opportunities, Navy recruiting,
mm-hmm.
Got sent to New Orleans, Well, I got orders to New Orleans. I said, "Would you want them?" It's command opportunity. You know, pinnacle of naval officer's career is command.
Right.
Absolutely. Accept the order, sign the papers. 2 days later, Katrina rolls
wow.
through.
Ooh, ouch.
Uh-oh. But went down there, again, another opportunity for me, and we had some really good success down there. I was able to apply some of those master's degree ideas in an organization.
And in that crisis.
Right. So, you know, it was a complete reconstitution of the command and the Navy presence on the Gulf Coast.
Right.
And, you know, seeming disaster, but it turned out to be a great opportunity for me to exercise some of the stuff mm-hmm. that I'd learned.
So what got you back to Pensacola?
Well, after that, I was, you know, because of my success there, I was selected to go over to Iraq as the Navy Provisional Detainee Battalion Commander.
So
in other words, running an internment camp, a prison for all the
That
bad
was your
guys
reward?
There's a sales
reward.
Guy right there. Here. Congrats, you've done such a great job. Here's your...
In New Orleans, you know, we're
right.
sending you to Iraq.
I want that guy selling for me. Speaking of, how does the sales and marketing thing work for you in your consulting? Is the phone? I asked the same question of our first guest this mm-hmm. morning. Is the phone ringing? Are you out there knocking on doors?
The phone is ringing.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So the you know, the I guess the what I have to base that on is my past successes and my contacts that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my career and throughout DOD, throughout the IT industry.
Right.
As part of my role when I was at the Pentagon, as part of my role, and my last duty was as the Chief Information Officer for Naval Education and Training Command,
mm-hmm.
which runs the world's largest distributed training network. So that was a huge learning curve there. But, you know, as we modernized that, I made industry contacts, helped me to understand the new technologies that, you know, when you're in DOD, you don't get to go to these conferences, you know,
right.
right? So you got to bring people to you to kind of explain that. And you go through and you try to make business-based decisions, always keeping in mind that what you're spending is taxpayer money and you need to make the best decision you
right.
can. So, but, you know, made a lot of contacts within the IT industry.
So how's the transition been going from the, you know, the military to kind of... The real world here.
Yeah, now that I'm all grown up, right? The transition's been, it was rocky at first, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And honestly, I'd never, you know, I started this business last January.
So did you just get out of the military?
I got out in October 2013. I retired.
Mm-hmm.
Was looking for, that standard job, you know, looking for a company.
So that's what you thought in your head, that you would go from that.
That's
to get
where
a
I was
job.
Going, yeah. And mm-hmm. You know, when we had decided on Pensacola, I came here for my last tour. That's where I met my wife 23 years ago. And when I met her, she had just moved to Pensacola because she'd always wanted to live in Pensacola. 6 months later, she's
You're
following
right.
me all over the world, so I kind of owed it to her.
So she must have liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had 4 kids in high school, so I needed to – it was time to settle down. We mm-hmm. wanted to stay here until we got –
Well, that's great because you could have picked anywhere.
Exactly. So there's an airport here. It's easy to go in and out.
Are you still flying?
No. My oldest son is over at Louisiana Tech in their professional aviation program. Mm-hmm. So I've taken the money I would spend on the private side and
right.
said, okay, let you do this for a while and let me get the business going. And then we can look back at, because oddly enough, you know, I can get into a $250 million tactical jet aircraft, but I can't get in a Cessna 172 without the proper FAA authority. So, and they cost a lot of money, as you can imagine. But, we settled here for family reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's got a lot of family in the Mobile area.
And is your business around here, or are your clients all over the place?
Maybe 3 in the near future clients here in the local area, but I have clients on the West Coast, Hawaii, D.C. area, Charleston.
I hope you get to do client visits.
Of course I do. That's important. So that's you know, I guess that's the gist of what I do. The topic I really wanted to come here and talk about today is I-10 Wired.
Mm-hmm.
This is our conference that is in its this will be its 10th year, and This year, it's October 22nd and 23rd out at Pensacola Beach Hilton. It is a it's an IT technology conference, and we have been growing these last 3 years.
So you started the conference?
I did not. It had been in existence. I joined the effort about 3 years ago, and we went from about 75 attendees. So last year we maxed out the Hilton at 300.
Wow.
This year we've been able to acquire a little bit more space at the Hilton, so it's gonna cap out at 350.
And who attends?
Your local IT technology, everybody from your desktop administrators, server administrators, LAN help desk folks, and all the way up through CIOs.
Is it only Pensacola, or it's regional?
So the parent organization is IT Gulf Coast, and so. Technically, we span, our membership goes from Fort Walton Beach, probably all the way over to Gulfport, Mobile area. IT Gulf Coast hosts monthly lunch and learns where we bring in guest speakers to talk about new technology or even old technology, but new ways of implementing it. Provide lunch, and our members are welcome to come and attend those. We do a monthly social, and we sponsor I-10 Wired. Now I-10 Wired, like I said, it has been a 1 day event. It is now a 2 day event. It starts with a golf outing at Tiger Point, and then on Thursday afternoon, another new feature that we're pulling together is a learning event, so that in IT, you have to have certifications to get certain levels of access to your networks, especially in the government
space. So there's continuing education?
Continuing education units that we'll be offering. So there'll be training tracks that folks can attend as part of the...
Is there an expo where people can kind of show off
their
wares?
Yeah, so that'll be Friday. Mm-hmm. But the conference itself kicks off Thursday evening at the Hilton. One of the other things that I spearheaded here was creating a group. It's called the I-10 Wired CIO Roundtable.
Oh, great.
So I've reached out to the CIOs all along the Gulf Coast here, and we have members of this from all the way from Tampa, Atlanta, Pensacola, Eglin, Mobile, Gulfport. They're members of this group. We get together usually twice a year. One at the I-10 Wired, and we kick off the event there. And what we do there is a panel discussion. One of the frustrations I had when I was sitting in the seat was I would have I needed services. I needed somebody to come in
and needed peers to tell you.
Well, yeah, right. Absolutely. So yeah, I felt a little bit on an island myself down here. I'm my personality is such that I can reach out to folks and we can get talking. To bring the CIOs together, and what the purpose of the panel is it gives the CIOs an opportunity to talk about their organization, the IT, and where they're going. It gives their employees, their technicians, their managers, the opportunity to hear them speak about where they're going and what they're doing.
Right.
So they have an idea, and they can say, hey, we're moving into virtualization. I better get up to speed on that.
Right.
So I have a job in a year. The other thing that it does is it informs the local service providers where the industry is going, especially the local industry when it's local CIOs. And like I was saying before, one of my frustrations was it's new technology. And in my case, it was virtualization. But I had to go find a company, and we awarded a contract, a pretty large one, to a company out of DC because nobody locally was thinking about that.
Right. It's not on their radar. I mean, it's not really a fault of theirs. But
right.
It's just they're not in the loop.
Exactly. So this helps to what I believe, or what I'm hoping it does, is it helps to steer the market. It helps the local service providers to get a foot in the door so they can compete with other companies who are, either in the Beltway or in San Francisco or San Diego or Charleston, where they're seeing these new technologies roll out.
Right.
And so that's my hope there, to get better prepare the local service providers, the local IT labor force, workforce here. And again, it gives the CIOs a chance to get out there and tell everybody what they're doing. And it creates a group that is able to talk and exchange ideas. And so on the other usually 6 months after we do that panel, we'll get as many folks who is available to come in, and we do a closed door where they can actually talk about, okay, we really screwed this one up. Right. How did you guys handle it?
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
It's I'm sure they're all hungry for this information because no one wants to screw it up. And CIOs, there's a lot of pressure in an organization on a CIO.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be wrong a lot.
No, you can't. Well, not unless you got a lot of money there. So.
Right.
But yeah, so that, and that's the idea behind the CIO roundtable that we put together. But that kicks off the I-10 Wired conference,
mm-hmm.
And then on Friday morning, the conference, which starts off with a breakfast and a breakfast keynote speaker.
Who's the speaker? Are you working on that?
We are not ready to announce our speakers yet. We will do that August 1st. So the again, it doesn't happen until October.
Who was a past speaker? Anybody noteworthy?
Last year we had the chief technology officer for Department of Homeland Security, General Tohill.
Mm-hmm.
We had
so you had to go into your Rolodex for that.
Yes, yes.
went into the Sean's Black Book.
He was gracious enough to come down, and he was actually not in my Rolodex, but several people who work for him were, so it was helpful. You know, we had I'm going to hope I don't butcher his name, Sadish Nadir, who's the chief marketer, market director for Nutanix, which is a hyper-converged internet size or internet scaled infrastructure for data centers and mm-hmm. And networks. He came in and gave it a great presentation on cloud and where cloud starts and ends, and it was eye opening for a lot of folks mm-hmm. there. We had Bill Hills was the evening or the keynote speaker to close the conference, and he's the CIO for Navy Federal Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had some.
So there's a lot of education. There's a lot of you can get actual seat credits, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to mention we've got four tracks for the day there, mm-hmm. and that consists of four to five speakers during the day. And that so cybersecurity again, one of the hot topics
sure.
in IT these days. We have another is the tech makers and startups. So we have folks coming from the Gulf Coast Innovation to talk about how do you do startups? How do you tell their story
great.
About how they how they you know products that they brought to market and how they develop those.
Mm-hmm.
So
and are there
if you're available. And then mobile wearable devices. So this is looking to the future.
Internet of Things.
Internet of Things.
That'd be fun.
And you know we got folks who are going to come. We're going to talk about how do you integrate that into your business. How do mm-hmm. you make the most out of that? And, you know, it's a business transformation when you bring a technology
right.
like that, and it's
anything
not email
on,
and text anymore.
Right.
It's so much more.
Anything on the beacon technology?
That's not planned, but if that would fit into mobile wearable.
Are you voluntarily? Are you going to speak about beacon technology?
That's a hot topic nowadays.
So these are volunteer speakers. So it's,
okay.
It's, and then professional development. So how to develop the
like kind of your
workforce.
Career, like how to build your career.
Right. Well, from the business owner's perspective, how do you develop? Right. How do you develop your workforce so that
right.
they do have a career so that your business
yeah, like,
stays
like,
ahead?
Can you just take some pilot and make him your IT guy and all
right.
of a sudden he's in the Pentagon?
Yeah,
is that possible?
It is
can
possible.
That be done?
I don't know if I'd recommend that. But
that path.
So, sponsor opportunities? Are there opportunities to sponsor this conference in any way?
Or? We had our initial sponsorships, and as of today, they are all filled.
Wow.
But we are figuring out a few.
Build some new ones, right?
We are building some new ones.
That's
so,
innovation.
And so one of the things we're going to hand out is a swag bag. So if anybody wants to sponsor us with their logo on a bag or polo or golf shirts. We'd love to put those in
that's
the bag.
Great.
Golf balls, anything, anything
Clearstream,
you can think of.
Clearstream golf balls. I like or maybe Clearstream radio.
But we do have, I believe there are 9 booths still available if anybody's interested in presenting.
All right, now who would exhibit typically?
Those are the vendors to CIOs.
Yeah, local vendors, local service providers, MediaCom. I'm thinking of some of the folks that were there last year. I haven't committed this year's to memory, so please excuse me if I leave anybody out. But we had MediaCom, we had Nutanix, we had DH Technologies, we had Veeam, we had HP Enterprise Services, we had Digital Boardwalk, we had AppRiver. Those are some of the local folks. Mm-hmm. And there was probably a half dozen others.
A wonderful opportunity. Yeah. I mean, you're right there with the movers and shakers of the business, and you're having an opportunity to really build relationships
absolutely
with them, not just hold up a
that's
sign.
What
that's
it's all
the
about.
Key, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is building those relationships. Because like you said, you can't be wrong too many times. And
right.
So if they don't trust you, you know, they don't talk to you.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more, is there a website for that conference or for that group?
You can go to i10wired.com, and that give you all the information. It's going to be updated this afternoon with new sponsorship opportunities that are available. It'll some of the track speakers will be listed and some of the openings that are available. So there are still speaker opportunities available. There are booth opportunities available, and those will all be listed. It'll talk about the venue. It'll talk about last year. But one thing I would like to mention is the goal of the I-10 Wired conference is to it supports a scholarship program that IT Gulf Coast has. Mm-hmm. And last year we raised $17,000 for scholarship programs. And we give those to the high school graduates or folks who are in college already and are studying towards an IT degree.
Mm-hmm.
So it generates interest in the IT community and the IT profession.
And it invests back into the community.
That's, yes, exactly. And that is the stated goal.
Right.
So we do that. Or you can go to itgulfcoast.org, and that's the parent organization that sponsors this. And there's plenty of networking and professional association opportunities.
And they meet more regularly than twice a year, right?
IT Gulf Coast, yeah. Right. We do the lunch and learns every month. Mm-hmm. We do the social every month.
There's Margarita Monday.
But again, that social time is important. That's how you build those relationships. So, we sponsor that, and we move it all around the Pensacola area to hope. So,
what about your consulting firm website for you guys?
I do not have a website.
Sean, you're an IT guy.
I know. it hasn't been required. And honestly,
don't call us. We'll call you.
Exactly.
When you think about it, some of the work I do does not want to be published, right?
So, right. They don't want your client list out there, right?
It would be a boring website. There was one, but like I said, it was boring.
Right.
Exactly. So.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
504-717-9818.
And they can find you on LinkedIn?
They can find me on LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn, Sean P. O'Brien.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about
what's going on
Wired.
In Pensacola.
Yeah.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Pensacola Business Radio.